Chapter 3. Skippy had requested that Valkyrie fly him thousands of light years to Newark so he could visit my family again. Margaret and I were in agreement that the beer can was a bad influence on our boys, though she was more adamant than I was about restricting Skippy's access to Jeremy and Renee. Unfortunately for us as parents, it was difficult to stop Skippy from using his avatar to talk with the boys. Worse, the boys, of course, loved Skippy. To them, he was fun and encouraged them to do all kinds of things they should not be doing, like when he promised to construct little mech suits for them as a present on their fourth birthday. Margaret put a stop to that right away, but the damage was done. After catching up with Skippy in the shack, I had to go back outside to cover up my section of the dig site. The area I had been assigned to dig was a dump. Literally, a place where the inhabitants living in caves nearby had dumped their trash. Back when I learned my part of the dig would be uncovering trash and garbage, I'd been kind of insulted, except without the kind of part. The leader of the dig, a xenoarchaeologist from the University of Florence, had made it no secret that amateurs like me were not welcome. So I had been about to pull rank when one of the grad students pulled me aside to explain that studying a trash dump was actually super important to understanding how the last survivors of Newark had spent their final years before they went extinct. Even the fact that the small band of survivors bothered to dig a pit to bury their trash and garbage revealed valuable information about their lives during those years. Discarding the garbage and covering each layer with dirt told us the inhabitants of the caves were concerned about sanitation. They had kept rotting and potential infectious food scraps away from their living quarters. They had also dug latrines away from the caves in locations that would not contaminate their water supply. The xenoarchaeology team concluded that right to the end, the inhabitants of the caves had hope. They surely understood something bad had happened to their world, that the pattern of seasons had changed horribly, and there was nothing they could do about it. We know from evidence found in the caves the natives ultimately had perished from a lack of food. Multiple seasons without being able to grow crops, plus the loss of animals they could eat, had caused starvation. Plants and animals that might have survived the suddenly harsh condition at the equator had even trapped near the poles, unable to migrate quickly enough. Life forms native to the equatorial region had no chance to adapt to the freezing conditions that persisted most of every year. If the natives of Newark had been able to bring suitable food crops and domestic animals with them to the equator, those food sources had not survived. Anyway, after it was explained to me that a garbage dump was actually an important resource for archaeology, I had approached my job with enthusiasm. That's why, before going home for the day, I stopped to place a tarp over the pit I had been slowly digging away at. That time of Newark's year, we did get soaking rains, sort of the planet's brief monsoon season. A rainstorm was not going to ruin all the hard work I had done. Skippy called as soon as I stood up, taking off my gloves. "Hey, Joe, good thing you got that cover installed. It will start raining there in about 20 minutes. "Uh-huh." I looked up at the dark gray clouds, feeling sleet beginning to sting my face. Rain would be better than this. "Oh, the rain will turn to sleet and snow tonight. Remind me why you wanted to bring your family here." "It's a good experience for the boys." I said that automatically like it was a line I had rehearsed. Because it was. Because giving our sons the experience of living on another world, a dead world, and seeing an important archaeological dig was just an excuse.
"Right."
Damn it, Skippy's study of empathy hadn't made him any more empathetic, but it had given him more insight into human emotions, motivations, that sort of thing. Basically, my idiotic idea for him to learn about that subject had made him better at using and manipulating people. Plus, he more often was able to know when I was lying. "Come on, Joe, you can tell your old buddy, the Skipster, what is really going on." "That is the truth." "Interesting. Joe, something is bothering you. Your options are to talk about it with me or let it eat you up inside." "It's kinda... there was no point to keep lying." "Personal, Skippy." "Personal? And you are embarrassed about it?" "Kinda, yeah." "Joe, no matter how embarrassing this is, remember, I am the only being in this galaxy who could not possibly have an even lower opinion of your intelligence." "Thanks a lot, you ass. What I'm trying to tell you is there is no downside to telling me what's bothering you."
"Shit, I guess you're right.
What you probably should do is talk with Margaret about it, but I assume this is something you don't want her to know about?"
"You got that right."
"Okay, let's talk while I walk. It's a long way back to my quarters."
You could call for a ride. To my left were two trucks parked a kilometer away. Heavy machinery was not allowed close to the dig site, and people had to walk on designated paths or on plastic planks laid on the ground to prevent compacting the soil. Everyone walks, Skippy. You are a two-star general now, Joe. You should have your own aircraft. The U.S. Army gave me that second star as a bribe for keeping my mouth shut, Skippy.
That's not true.
Okay, you got a promotion so you would be in an administrative role and not able to cause trouble. Like I said, give me a minute to get up this hill. A set of stairs had been set up for climbing the hill above the dig site so people walking didn't erode the slope that would wash mud down on the excavations. The steps were an odd size, the risers just an inch shorter than what felt normal, so it felt like I was taking strides that were too close together. If I didn't pay attention to my feet, I could stumble, and I wouldn't be the first member of the team to do that. To my right, there was a long, muddy streak where some unfortunate person had fallen and slid all the way down on their ass. No way did I want to be that guy. At the top, I seriously needed to catch my breath, despite being in the best shape of my life. The lower oxygen content on Newark's atmosphere could sneak up on you. My excellent condition was a result of my not having enough to do, so I filled my days with working out in the base gym and taking long, tough runs across the countryside. Generally, I ran by myself at odd hours, and I didn't care about the weather. The more miserable the weather was, the harder I ran. Stopping at the top gave me an excuse to look around. I could see to the south, the bright yellow structures of the base, a beacon in a sea of gray. Gray skies, gray landscape of rocks and tundra that had only recently thawed, patches of stunted grass here and there and spots protected from the wind by rocks didn't stand out in the dim light. What a miserable, godforsaken world. Why had I brought my family here, taken them off the comfortable surface of Jaguar? You want the truth, Skippy?
I can handle it, Joe. The question is, can you talk about it?
You won't tell anyone.
Yes, he sighed, even though I suspect this is something Margaret should know about.
Do not tell her. I'll do that myself someday.
Fine, go ahead.
We came here because... It sounded stupid as I formed the words in my head. The boys think I'm retired or something. They don't see that I have a job.
Do you, really?
Yes, damn it. I like my job. For a change, it doesn't involve killing anyone.
I meant, do you have a real job? One worth doing?
Yes. But it doesn't help that the boys never see me doing anything other than sitting at a desk reading memos. Margaret gets up early and leaves in the morning while I make breakfast and clean the house. They watch training videos of her jumping out of dropships or running around in a mech suit. She comes home all dirty and sweaty with a crease across her forehead from the helmet liner, and the boys forget all about me and race over to her.
Well, they haven't seen her the whole day.
That's not it. Renee was asked what he wants to be when he grows up. He said he wants to be cool, like his mommy.
Margaret is a badass, Joe.
I used to do stuff, Skippy. Now I attend meetings, give the occasional speech, and pick up toys around the house.
Someone has to do that?
Yes, and it's important. When I told Command I wanted to come to Newark, I didn't think they would actually approve my request to be away from Jaguar for 2 months. This, I looked around at the gray, bleak landscape, is not what I wanted.
What did you want, Joe? Why did you really bring your family here?
With a sigh, I admitted the truth. Because I wanted my boys to see a place where I was once cool.
Ah, there's the painful truth. Was saying that so difficult?
When I took the boys out to see the crash site of that first Krestang scavenger bird we knocked down, I told them it had been my idea to lure that aircraft in at low altitude so we could shoot it out of the sky. All the boys had wanted to know was whether I was on the Spec Ops Zinger team that launched the missiles. Was I on the assault team that cleared the wreckage? Did I do anything? That trip totally backfired on me. I had to tell them I watched the whole operation on video. Jeremy asked whether I made a speech. Renee wanted to know if I had brought a nice lunch for the soldiers. This is certainly not an optimal situation, Joe.
Now you see why I haven't talked with Margaret?
No, I do not. Women don't like men who whine, Skippy. They like men who, when faced with a problem, do something about it.
Ah, I see. What you're doing right now is not whining? Are you going to listen or not?
Of course.
So, I can't wait to hear. What will you do about this? My shoulders sagged. I have no idea. I don't know if there is anything I can do.
Come on, Joe. You are the ultimate at solving impossible problems. Do you have any clue what a fucked up mess the galaxy is right now? It is absolute chaos out there.
Yeah, and Command made it crystal clear they do not want me helping them clean up the mess. They're afraid I'll do some unauthorized shit and make the situation worse.
Wow, I have no idea why they think that could happen, he muttered.
Oh, shut up.
Our boys, Jeremy and Renee. When we learned that Margaret was pregnant with two boys, we each separately wrote a list of possible names and exchanged the lists. The first two names on my list were Jeremy and Renee. Those were also the first two names on her list. It was meant to be. Since the boys were born 7 years ago, I had second-guessed the names we had chosen. It might have been better if we'd gone with the third and fourth names on my list, Jesse and Dave. I mean, had we put a lot of pressure on our sons by naming them for dead heroes? That was a burden I sure wouldn't want to carry with me. Well, what's done is done, and it helps that Margaret also questioned whether we had made the right decision. She was pregnant again, a girl this time, just one. We agreed early on not to name our daughter Fall. That would just be too painful, especially for me. Yes, Rene Giraud was also killed in action with Fall Desai in the event the Merry Band of Pirates still refers to as Armageddon. For some reason, I felt a much bigger load of guilt about Fall's death. Probably because she was a woman, which is unfair. Also because she was in the Kristang jail on Paradise with me, Margaret, and Kong. She had been with me from the very beginning. I had gotten both her and Rene Giraud killed because I issued the orders that put them in harm's way. Same with Jeremy Smythe, except his situation had been worse. During the Armageddon incident, I sent an away team to pick up power boosters from a Maxalt space station. We had not thought there was a strong probability of hostile action. If we anticipated major trouble, we would have changed plans and gone elsewhere. A Maxalt warship jumping in had been a complete surprise, a shit happens sort of thing. But later, when we were trying to stop the Elders from returning and I sent Smythe into an Elder space dock with Star Team Alpha, I not only knew the team was going into an extremely hazardous situation, I had not expected any of them to survive. Before Smythe launched with his team, he and I essentially had said our goodbyes to each other. He told me he was proud of how I had grown as a commander, that serving with the Merry Band of Pirates was not only the greatest honor of his life, it was the greatest honor he ever could hope for. At that moment, as he walked away toward what he knew was certain death, he had made peace with his fate. I had to live with that guilt every day when I saw Smythe's namesake, my eldest son. How did I live with knowing I had ordered to his death the finest soldier I ever met? By saying a silent thanks every time I saw my wife. Margaret had also been part of the assault against the Elder space dock. Against all odds, she had survived. Barely. It had taken her 6 months in and out of a hospital to heal from the injuries she suffered in that ultimately successful operation. 6 months to heal, even with the best intensive therapy available from Mad Dr. Skippy. 4 months more before she declared that she felt mostly like herself again, and she worked super hard during those 4 months. That's when we got married. 2 weeks after she got out of the hospital, she got down on one knee and proposed to me. I kinda ruined the moment by sputtering that I was supposed to do that. Joe, I'm tired of waiting, she had said with a sigh. I'm just tired. And I know the reason you didn't propose earlier is you were waiting for me to be ready, so... She took a breath and held up a small white box. I'm telling you, I am ready. If you want this.
Hell yes, I wanted it. Especially when I saw that inside that box was not a ring, but a gift certificate for a case of fluff. Damn, I loved that woman. Once she made up her mind, we moved fast. She was pregnant within 2 months after the wedding. We had some help with that. Like a lot of help. Margaret's insides, her entire body, had gotten scrambled more than once. And I had several times been baked by high-energy radiation that caused DNA damage not even Skippy could fully repair. We probably would have been okay, but probably isn't good enough when the subject is the healthier children. So again, we used the services of Mad Dr. Skippy, and that is something we rarely spoke about. Margaret and I are just so grateful to be parents, we don't care about the details. Skippy seemed more eager to forget the whole thing. I got the impression that assisting me and Margaret having babies was more intimately involved than he ever wanted to get with meat sacks. Anyway, the boys are perfectly healthy, and Margaret's second pregnancy is going just fine. From my perspective, I mean, I don't have a baby girl kicking my bladder at 2 a.m. Joe, I have a great idea, Skippy announced as his avatar shimmered to life above my workbench. The workshop was a cubicle in the back of the love shack at the dig site, a space originally set aside for storing broken, used up, and worn out equipment. One day I had been sorting through the pile of junk looking for a spare power cell when I found a plasma torch that we could have used the day before. It looked fine, just didn't turn on. It took me 5 minutes to diagnose the problem was the power button itself. The connections had gotten corroded. Half an hour of work later, we had a working plasma torch. After that, I spent part of each morning, generally the coldest, most damp part of the day, repairing equipment. It was useful work, it kept me out of the cold, and the workshop was close to the coffee pot. A win-win for everyone. You have a great idea. Based on past experience, I kinda doubt that. Listen, you jerk, don't be an ass. This might be a solution to your problem. Setting down the solder pen so I didn't burn myself, I glanced at his avatar. The problem is that I talk to an imaginary beer can? Please, try to be serious, jackass. Okay, amaze me, Skippy. First, I spoke with Colonel Reed, and she agreed we can send a Panther flight simulator to the surface for a few days. What? I didn't request. It was my idea, dum-dum. Skippy, I am the commander of this military district. Requests like that are supposed to go through the Newark district? He snorted. This miserable planet is the only UN asset within 100 light years. It may be a temporary duty station, but it's still my job, Skippy. Do you really want more tedious paperwork? No thanks. Why do we need a flight simulator down here? Oh, is it for the boys? Hey, their friends would probably enjoy going to... It's for you, Joe. Me? There's only one Panther on this entire planet. Why would I... To refresh your skills! Damn, do I have to spell this out for you. Your rating is not current, but for a simple, non-combat flight to orbit, all you need is 11 hours of stick time in the simulator, plus 4 hours of virtual classroom training and, of course, a final test. Uh-huh. Will the test be administered by you? As if I ever want to be responsible for signing off on your competency, Joe. Colonel Reed will conduct the test. Oh, she's tough. She is good. There's a difference. Whatever. Why do I need to renew my flight training? Do the pilots up there have the flu or something? That was unlikely, and that morning's status report had not mentioned any issues with Valkyrie's crew beyond the usual minor complaints. Reed's ship didn't have a star team aboard. The crew complement overall was thin. She should have plenty of pilots to cover a full schedule, and with not much going on around Newark, there wasn't a lot for her air group to be doing. As if Valkyrie would need a doofus to fill in for one of their pilots. I said this is for you. Don't you get it? My mind was spinning, trying to guess what kind of twisted logic he was trying to apply. Want me to apply to be a pilot? Get away from my boring desk job? That won't work. The military doesn't allow 2 stars in a flight role. Somehow you have gotten even more dense. Joe, your brain is dangerously close to collapsing to form a black hole. I got a lot of work to do today. How about you just tell me this genius scheme of yours? You actually have nothing to do today other than the busy work you fill your time with, but whatevs. Listen, my idea is you can show your boys that you do something by flying them up to Valkyrie, with you in command of the dropship. All this for a joyride into orbit? Even as a major general, I can't justify taking my family along on a... Not just a visit, you numbskull, you didn't let me finish! You don't know this yet, because command hasn't officially notified you and the general staff is still debating the issue, but you will soon be invited to Earth. Earth? That was kind of thrilling. The boys had never been to Earth. Hell, it had been 4 years since I was last there. What for? Aw, crap. Is this a bad thing? Command has been hinting that I should consider retirement. The UN general staff was nervous that Cowboy Joe Bishop still wore a uniform during peacetime, like they were concerned I might do something that would plunge Earth back into war while our homeworld was still rebuilding. That's why I got the garrison command at Jaguar. It was an isolated post. Some days, when I had to deal with some bureaucratic bullshit, retirement sounded good. I wasn't ready yet. Joe, it's a good thing.
or at least neutral, depending on how you look at it. Roscoe is being decommissioned finally. There will be an official ceremony. Command has suggested you should be there, if you agree to stand, smile, and not say or do anything.
I can do that.
Why the rush? Roscoe still has 4 more years of service life, according to the last report I read about. When we arrived at Earth after Skippy banished the Elders, we had expected to find Roscoe in pieces, with some of those ultra-dense pieces of exotic matter having impacted my homeworld at high speed. Instead, Roscoe was right where we had left it, and in the same condition. Still slowly fading, still fooling everyone that it was an invincible defender of Earth. Skippy had warned that when he sent the kill signal to all the Master Control AIs, that same signal also would disable all Sentinels. Skippy had some splaining to do. He discovered, after a lot of blah 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 about how his analysis had been entirely correct and he could not possibly be expected to foresee all possibilities, that what saved Roscoe was the cumulative damage that Killing Machine's Matrix had previously suffered. Roscoe had barely heard the kill signal, had not been able to process it correctly, and anyway, lacked the ability to fully execute the command. Man, Skippy felt like an idiot, no matter how he tried to spin that it was his brilliance and not luck that had saved my homeworld. So, Roscoe's creepy tentacles were still hanging out near Earth, the disturbingly dark surfaces becoming a bit more dull day by day, and no hostile entity had tested our defenses since before we dealt with the Elders. Roscoe does have more useful service life remaining, but, with Bubba now in place, the cumulative additional mass near Earth is beginning to have a measurable effect on ocean tides. Sentinels are massive, Joe, even with only a portion of their structure in this layer of space-time. Bubba is capable of fully withdrawing into higher space-time, which will eventually erase the wonky tidal effects. Does Command still plan to ask Bubba to reveal itself a couple times a year to show it's still there? Yes, he groaned. Even though I told them that it was not only not necessary, it is a bad idea. I did tell them there is no way I am getting Bubba to do tricks for them. Good. Then, unless they pay me for the show out of Command's entertainment budget.
Pay you to... You know what? That is no longer my problem.
So, what? You think I'll be allowed to bring the boys to Earth for the ceremony? Unfortunately, the timing won't work for you. The ceremony will likely not be scheduled for another 5 months, and that's not good. Margaret is having the baby in 4 months. No way can I leave... Ahem! He cleared his throat. May I suggest you talk with your wife? She might be thrilled to get you out of the house for a week.
A week? 1 week? That is not enough. Do you really think Command will want you near Earth any longer than necessary for the ceremony?
They are planning to send a ship for you and send you right back out after the ceremony. That is a week, 10 days tops.
Okay, yeah... Still, I can't leave Margaret and the baby for...
I am not supposed to tell you this, and if you can't keep your big mouth shut, I will deny the whole thing. After the boys were born, Margaret felt you drove her crazy with hovering around her. She does not like anyone fussing about her. She told you that? She told her mother, and her mother told her own sister, which is why I am technically not betraying anything Margaret told me in confidence.
That's a fine line.
Her mother is coming to Jaguar in a couple months to help with the baby.
Yeah, I know that. I am thrilled about it.
You don't sound thrilled.
I am happy about it.
My wife is happy. That's all that matters. Got it?
Okay, I guess Margaret could use a break from me for a week. You're suggesting I take the boys with me to Earth?
A quick visit isn't fair to them. They won't be able to see my hometown. Your hometown is not exactly the highlight of anyone's trip to Earth.
Hey, that is not, it is not even the highlight of a drive up the Interstate 95 corridor of northern Maine.
There was no point to arguing because I kind of agreed with him. Okay, whatever. My point is
there is a different opportunity for you to take the boys on an exciting and educational adventure soon.
What's that? We, meaning I, since I will be doing all the actual work, will be activating another Sentinel in 2 weeks from now, 12 days to be precise. Valkyrie will be leaving in 6 days to fly me out to a rendezvous with the activation fleet.
I did not know that.
That was only partially true. Reed had informed me her battlecruiser would be leaving in 6 days, but her ship was going to Earth for a routine refit and crew rotation. She had not mentioned Skippy's plans, and I hadn't asked.
So?
So what?
So would you and your boys like to come with me to witness a Sentinel being reactivated?
Wow. My mind was already thinking of ways I could spin the idea to Margaret.
That's something I need to think about. You need to think about how to sell it to Margaret. I told you, this will be a prime educational experience.
Yeah, I already used that line to get us to Newark. She won't buy it a second time.
But this will be educational for them, and for you. Don't you want to see a sentinel emerge from hibernation?
Well, yeah. While I had watched the videos, that wasn't the same as seeing it for real. A sentinel emerging from wherever the hell they lived, crawling out of a rip in space-time, creepy tentacles writhing and seeking prey. The image was horrifying at an instinctual level. Every intelligent species felt instant and uncontrollable revulsion when seeing a sentinel. Even the spiders and squids who had their own tentacles or exoskeleton legs, even they thought sentinels were creepy. The exotic material the sentinels were constructed of reflected light in a way that made the photons dance and change, colors shifting up and down the spectrum, though what biological eyes mostly saw was deep black. Not the color black. A sentinel was mostly the absence of all light. Only the edges of structures actually could be seen with the naked eye, and those also flickered in a disturbing way. Skippy said the materials didn't need to have that appearance. It had to be an effect deliberately added by the elders. For what purpose? To terrify any intelligent beings who saw a sentinel right before the killing machine used its weapons in various ways to exterminate that species. The elders were sick motherfuckers. Here's another example of how psychotically sick they were, or are, since they still exist, just not in our layer of reality, thank God. Also thank Skippy, since making the win-win deal to banish his creators had been all his doing. He hadn't been able to tell me about his plan in advance in case the elders had invaded my head and read my mind, which they totally could do, and did. In fact, my firm belief that we had zero chance of surviving a direct encounter with the elders is why they didn't just immediately engage the Ascension Machine's internal defenses. Instead, they decided to toy with me and send Skippy away. Their arrogance gave Skippy the few seconds he needed to hack into the massive machine, something he couldn't do until its defenses were activated. After that, it had been game over for the elders. Okay, technically the game ended in a 1-1 tie. The meat sacks in the Milky Way got to continue living our miserable, filthy lives, and the elders got to continue their blissful ascended existence without needing any power flowing from the crude matter of our galaxy. They can't screw with us, and no one can screw with them. I say good riddance to those assholes. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I was going to give an example of what sickos the elders were. Sorry, I've been hanging around Skippy too long, my attention tends to wander. Here's the example. Newark. The master control AI there could have directed the friendly local sentinel to detonate the star, an action that would have pretty much instantly stripped away the planet's atmosphere and baconed the surface to a glazed sphere of glass. The fate of the planet's inhabitants would have been horrible, but quick. The locals would have had a few seconds to glance up at the sky and wonder why their sun was suddenly so bright before the light became unbearable and anything exposed to the sky became a crispy critter. Sentinels had used that technique at least twice that Skippy knew of for the extinction of species who were on the verge of developing dangerous technologies, like spaceflight, nuclear weapons, or any of the other things that were at the top of the Elders' oh shit list. Really, that is just stupid. Hell, the Rindaloo currently possess incredible technology, and even the spiders were no threat to the Elders, or to any of their security mechanisms. The Elders were just psychotically paranoid. And, like I said, cruel. The inhabitants of Newark were in their version of a Bronze Age. We found bronze tools in caverns where the last of their species took refuge before they all starved and froze to death. The locals there were a threat to the wildlife of their world and to each other, not to anyone above their atmosphere. That is why the sentinel there was directed to use what was considered a minimum level of force to knock the planet out of its original orbit. Newark had raced around its star in pretty much a circle, an orbit slightly more regular than that of Earth's path circling the sun. After the sentinel did what it was ordered to do, Newark's orbit was highly elliptical, with most of its year taking it far away from the star. The result was a condition that might be called sudden onset ice age. The planet froze nearly from pole to pole. Only a narrow strip of land and ocean around the equator remained free of ice, and even that area got snow. Why was that sentinel ordered to use a different approach? Was it simply efficiency, minimizing the expenditure of energy? No. Making a star explode took no more energy than the effort to nudge a planet into an elliptical orbit. Actually, modifying a planet's orbit while keeping the planet's shell intact required a sentinel to remain active for much longer, months rather than hours. Efficiency was not the reason for making the inhabitants of Newark suffer. Suffering was the whole point. Whenever possible, the Elders wanted intelligent species who unknowingly trespassed on Elder territory to suffer agony for their crime. The fact that the Elders had moved on and no longer occupied that territory did not matter, nor did the failure of the Elders to prominently post no trespassing signs throughout the galaxy. Any species who beat the odds and evolved intelligence to the point where they came to the notice of the security mechanisms had to not only be exterminated, they had to be punished, as long and painfully as possible. That's what happened to Newark. According to Skippy, whose memories of that time are still somewhat fuzzy and incomplete, the extermination of Newark was the event that had crystallized his opposition to the purpose the Elders had programmed into him. He wasn't the only Master Control AI who felt that way. Newark was the beginning of the rebellion. Joe, wake up! Skippy snapped his fingers. Huh? Oh, sorry. You zoned out on me. He was indignant. I asked whether you want to witness a sentinel being activated. Yeah, I know. That's what I was thinking about. Sentinels. It's funny. His eyes grew wide. You think they are funny? Not funny like humorous. I mean, it's strange. Then why didn't you say that? It's just something people say. Something idiots say, he muttered. What I find strange is sentinels used to be the ultimate boogeyman. Monstrous things lurking in the shadows, murderous and unstoppable, you know? You are not the first person who described them as a boogeyman. Every intelligent species has a fear-based name for them. Right. But now, thanks to you, I emphasized that last word to boost his ego, and because it was true, they are not unthinkably scary things. They have been transformed into the opposite, again, by you. Sentinels now protect us. You have a very narrow definition of us, Joe. Well, yeah. Sentinels now protect Earth and Jaguar for humans. Technically, I protect those worlds, he sniffed. Bubba and Pup-Tart are just tools. Same difference. It's like someone put a collar on the dragon, and now instead of burning down your house, it guards the place. I am sort of a dragon tamer, if you think about it. You are. This new sentinel, what is it for? Did the Jirapatha finally approve a sentinel being stationed at their homeworld? He blinked at me. You don't know already? I do not. But you still have top-level clearance. That doesn't mean I'm on the distribution list for everything. Well, we certainly need to fix that. I'll install a filter that routes all top-level classified info to you. Do not do that. Jeez, Skippy, I'm usually in enough trouble with my chain of command already. Oh, come on, Joe. The so-called encryption Undick uses is just pathetic. The freaking Theranin can crack that encryption, and they are a bunch of second-tier pinheads. Just don't get me into any more trouble, please. Where is that sentinel going? Well, the moronic politicians who run your miserable homeworld wanted to have a second sentinel there after Roscoe is decommissioned. Okay, I can see that as a backup. No, he snorted. It was a prestige thing for them. I pointed out that Earth and Jaguar already have 100% more sentinel protection than any other planet in the galaxy, but was that good enough? No! Earth has to be special! They understood after you explained it to them? Like that was ever going to happen. Yeah, I figured that. I refused to go through the entire process to activate, hack into, and tame another sentinel just for human prestige. He made a gagging sound. As if you monkeys could ever have anything to be proud of. I am proud of my friendship with you. Whoa. Good one, Joe. Did you just dream up that line of bullshit, or have you been waiting for the right moment to suck up to me? It's the truth. Wow. Well, thank you. I am also proud of my speed run through that Super Duper Mario game that Margaret got me for my birthday, so you have to grade my pride on a curve. Ugh. Thanks for ruining the moment, knucklehead. I was just being honest. Joe, in the history of our relationship, has more honesty ever been a good idea? No. I don't know what I was thinking. So are the Beatles getting this new sentinel? Nuh-uh. Their central wagering office recorded too much action on the side of a sentinel in their territory being a disaster waiting to happen. There is juicy action on prop bets that the whole proposal is nothing but a long-term human plot to enslave the Jirapatha, or that someone like the Maxalts will eventually gain the ability to hack into and control sentinels. Shit. That can't happen, right? Dude, never. Those rotten kiddies are nowhere close to being as smart as they think they are. I told the Beatles not to worry about it, but they didn't believe me. Gosh, I muttered. I can't imagine why they don't trust you. Oh, shut up. It was not surprising that the Beatles used public wagering action to decide whether to accept a giant killing machine as guardian of their homeworld. If I know anything about the Jarraptha, a significant portion of their population did not want an invincible protector, even if a sentinel could unquestionably be trusted. Why would they not want a defense mechanism that would give them a major advantage over their enemies and also make them less dependent on their patrons? Quite simple. Absolute protection for their homeworld would significantly reduce the opportunities for juicy action. The Jarraptha were comfortable that their existence was not under a serious threat, so they had more important things to worry about. Okay, so the Sentinel is not going to the Jarraptha and not to Earth. Where is it going? Well, he looked disgusted. I suggested a charity auction with the... You want to sell a freaking Sentinel? Ugh, don't be such a drama queen, Joe. This is potentially a major profit opportunity. I don't see why someone shouldn't cash in big time. Someone? Well, me, of course. Hey, I'm doing all the work here. I thought you said this was a charity auction. Yes, well, he coughed nervously. It's for the Skipistan Widows and Orphans Fund. We don't have any widows or orphans. Not any that need charity. Like that's my fault. All the citizens of Skipistan are super rich. You charge them a ton of money for citizenship. None of them needs any charity. Ha! I wish that were true. The morons who invested too much money in Skipley sure aren't rich anymore. They lost a boatload of money when that company went bankrupt. I generously offered a discount on Skipway membership, but they're all whining about it in their class action lawsuit. Bunch of losers. Okay, whatever. Please tell me you are not selling a Sentinel. No, he sighed. I'm not. The namby-pamby jerks at your defense command refuse to provide the activation machinery unless they can control who gets the Sentinel. I do all the work, and what do I get? Our eternal gratitude and admiration? You know, if the gratitude was genuine, I might be happy with that. Basically, I'm doing it because it is majorly cool, and only I am capable of handling the job. Also, I used to be terrified of Sentinels. It is awesome to see one of them dance for me. Uh-huh. I can see why that would be rewarding. Can you answer my question? Who gets this next Sentinel? The Beta site in the Sculptor Dwarf Galaxy, the planet we called Avalon, was a safe haven for humanity, but it was already safe. That world didn't need Sentinel protection. No hostile species could get there. Skippy still controlled the super-duty wormhole that connected all the way out there, and he also controlled the password-protected wormhole in the Dwarf Galaxy. There were three other planets that had recently established human colonies. None of them had enough population to justify basing a Sentinel there. None of those marginally habitable worlds were likely to grow fast enough to need Sentinel protection in the next 100 years. My guess, and it was only a guess, is we would offer the Sentinel to the Verdkris. Those cousins of the Kristang were officially allies of humanity, and having an invincible protector at one of their worlds would be a huge boost to their prestige. If Command hasn't informed you, perhaps I shouldn't say. There was a twinkle in his eye. He loved yanking my chain. Like that ever stopped you. You know me too well. I am burning to tell you about it anyway. The spiders are getting this Sentinel, Joe. The spiders? Whoa, how did I not know this? Hans Chotek arranged the deal, very quietly. Well, this is a bold move. Maybe too bold. Humanity offering protection to the Rindaloo homeworld could start a war with the Rotten Kitties. Huh, interesting. That was Command's analysis also. Your leadership and you think alike. Thanks. That was not a compliment. Don't be an ass. If Command believes this move could lead to a war with the Maxulks, why are we doing it? We are not. But this next Sentinel will be going to the original homeworld of the Rindaloo.